Okay, Ramban, Parshas Achrimos, and Kedoshim. This is going to be a long one because almost all of the famous Rambans, outside of Parshas Bo, almost all of the famous Rambans are included in Achrimos and Kedoshim. So there's a lot here. Okay, so let's get started. So the Ramban begins, the Parsha, it says, Hashem speaks to Moshe, Achrimos Shnei Bnei Aaron, after the two sons of Aaron died. And he tells them the mitzvah of how they should go in on to the Kodesh HaKedoshim, like on Yom Kippur. So the Ramban says a big yesod here that you can see throughout all Rambans on Chumash, that the Ramban does not ever want to say in Muktam Mocher B'Torah. He always assumes everything is in order. Unlike Rashi, who was very, somewhat common to say in Muktam Mocher B'Torah and things in the Torah out of a chronological order, the Ramban does not like that, never likes it. And he says things are always in order, unless the Torah tells you it's out of order, like here, where it says, Achrei Moshe Shnei Bnei Aaron, or sometimes it says, Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe B'Har Sinai, and it's, this is Parsha Vayikra, and it still says B'Har Sinai. Sefer Vayikra, rather, and it still says B'Har Sinai. So if the Torah tells you that it's going out of order, okay, that's one thing. But if it doesn't tell you it's going out of order, it's always in order. And you have to figure out the pshat. Anyway, here he's saying it tells you it's Acharei Moshe Shnei Bnei Aaron. This is when it happened. Okay, so then you know it might be out of order. In other words, he thinks these two mitzvahs, meaning the one from Parsha Shmini of don't be drunk when you go into the Beis HaMikdash, don't drink wine, and this one about how you go into the Beis HaMikdash, into the, whatever, the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, those were all said at the same time. Okay, next we have the concept of the Seir LaAzazel. So on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol makes a goral. He has two goats. And he makes a goral, which goat is going to be Lashem, which Seir is Lashem, and which is La'azazel. And then the one La'azazel gets thrown off a cliff. So the Ramban says the explanation for that is very Avodah Zarah sounding. And that's the whole interesting part about it. In other words, the concept of Avodah Zarah, the Ramban explains, is that you would offer a karban to this idol, but you are not offering it to the idol. You're offering it to some koach and shemayim that the idol is looks like, represents, whatever. Or you just stop and just offer it to that koach and shemayim. And the Ramban says that that does something for it. It's l'reach nichoach for that thing. And therefore it's supposed to help you. So if there's some koach and shemayim that does whatever, the Mars was supposed to be the star of death, or whatever koach there is in Shemayim, however it works, like we're going to talk about in a second, the one in the Azazel. So if you offer a karban to that koach in Shemayim, like the shore or whatever, so then that does something for that koach, and then it's, you expect it to help you. Okay, so this, on Yom Kippur, a little bit that's like what we're doing. There's this Seir LaAzazel, it's called the Makom Seirim. Seir is like the Shadim, and you send it to this desert place, which is the place of Shmamon. So you're sending it to what he calls the Sar HaMoshel Bimkoma Sachurban. So it sounds like, it's almost, he's getting something, almost sounds like to leave us alone. It sounds like that concept. But we're not actually offering it to any Sar, because that would be Avodah Zarah. Rather, we're offering it to Hashem, and Hashem says, give it to the tsar. So like a mussel, the Ramban gives, you come to the king's table and you come with a gift to the king, and the king says, I'll give it to my officer here, he's hungry. So I'm not really giving a gift to the officer, I'm giving a gift to the king, and the king's telling me to give it to the officer. So similarly, when we do that, we bring the two goats, we're offering them to Hashem, and he says that's why the Kohen has to do a goral. Because if the Kohen would pick, this La'azazel would look too much like as if we're offering one to God and one to some koach. So, no, we bring them both to Hashem, and we do a goral, and it's as if Hashem picks. So it's as if Hashem is sending, okay, you gave it both to me, thank you, give this one to that guy, and this one, So that's the idea. So when we have the goral, and we give the Seir LaAzazel, but that's the idea. We're giving it to Hashem, but the idea is that it's somehow is giving a karban, so to speak, to that sar, to, I guess, to leave us alone. And he says that's why the person becomes tummy. And he says, similarly, by the way, the paraduma, which you burn outside the Beis HaMikdash, also has those kind of concepts. And that person also needs to go to the mikvah. The surface of para, just like the person that throws off the seer off the cliff, so the person who burns the para. They both need kibbutz begadim. Why that? Because there's some tumma involved in this, seems like tumma, and therefore they need to go to the mikvah. Anyway, that's what he says is the concept, and and he has some little line at the end about this is Yadua to many and to those who understand Rimzei HaTorah, and he can't explain more because he would have to say over things that those who go after Greek science or philosophy, whatever you want to call it, say, and to say why they're wrong. And it's just that line. He says that the philosophers assume, or the Greek, what we would call today their science, assumes that anything that can't feel and touch must not exist. That's, of course, not the case. Just because you can't feel and touch something doesn't mean it's not there. Okay, that's just a line he has at the end. But that's the concept of what we're doing on Yom Kippur. Okay, and then just in a few psukim later, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, it says that Aaron HaKohen puts his hand on he does smicha on the Seir HaChai, which is the one that's going la'azazel, and he's mevada all the Avonis B'nai Yisrael, it's called Pishem L'chachatzasam, so he puts them on the head of this goat. He does smicha and does vidui and all the sins of Klal Yisrael, and then he puts them on the head of this goat. So them are the sins. He puts the sins on the head of the goat. So the Rabban says we never find this kind of lashon anywhere else. Put it on the sin. When you bring a carbon, you're putting your sin on the head of the animal you're sacrificing. He says this is unique to the Azazel because it's not a normal carbon. A normal carbon you do vidui, but you want Hashem to forgive you, and He takes this carbon l'ratzon, that it should be l'ratzon to you, that Hashem should find favor in you and forgive you on your averus. But when it comes to the Sir Lazazel, you're not giving it to someone who could give you kapara or ratzon. It's going to this Sar Hamoshel B'makom Shemamon, whatever. It sounds like an angel, like kind of koach of destruction. So he can't be mechaper for you. He can't do anything for you. All it can do is no se'avonam. It can carry the sins. So again, I don't know if I explained this completely correctly. Again, you can look it up yourself. Tezayin Perk Tezayin Pasuk Chaf Aleph. It sounds like to me that this animal carries the sins itself. It gets thrown off a cliff and destroyed, but not that it's coming as a kapara because it can't be a kapara. It's not given to Hashem direct in that way. Okay, then we have in Pasuk Lamed Beis, who does the avon and who does the avoda on Yom Kippur? So we all know it's the Kohen Gadol. The lashon of the pasuk is v'chiper kohen asher yimshoch oso v'asher yimale es yado. So the who can do it? The Kohen Gadol who is nimshach with the shemen amishcha, or a kohen who's mimale es yado. So what does that mean? That means the Kohen Gadol what we call meruba begadim. That means he never got a special Shemen HaMishcha on his head. Rather, he's just appointed as Kohen Gadol, and he can wear the Shmona Begadim. So the Rashi quotes this. Rashi says this drasha and says, "V'heim kol haKohanim haGadolim shamdom Yoshio ve'elach." So all the Kohanim Gadolim that were from the time of Yoshio and onward, they were all just Meruba Begadim, because in Yoshio's time, the Shemen HaMishcha was hidden. So Rabban just points out that it is not the pshat that there was never a time from before Yoshiyahu that there was such a thing as a Meruba Begadim. Meaning, it wasn't like it was all in history, always Kohen Gadol, Shemen HaMishcha, and that's all there was, and then Yoshiyahu went on, there's all just Meruba Begadim, that's all there was. From the beginning of time, there was always Meruba Begadim. That is to say, whenever they made a Kohen Gadol, whenever the Kohen Gadol did the Avoda on Yom Kippur, he always had a backup, right? They always had to get a backup Kohen in case something happened to the Kohen Gadol himself. So that backup Kohen Gadol was never a Nimshach B'Shemen HaMishcha, but was a Meruba Begadim. So if that guy has to take over, if something happened to the Kohen Gadol, he would not have Shemen HaMishcha on him. He would just be a Meruba Begadim. And there are Gemaras that talk about, you know, if they're both together, what do you do? Like, who comes first? And also by Ari Miklat, that if both of them die, your chozer. But the point is that there were times in history that there could be both. It's not that you needed from them. It's not that it was just one or the other. There were times where there were Meruba Begadim and Shemen HaMishcha together. Okay. Okay, then we have the pasuk at the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin. It says, Ishish mi beis yisrael asher yishchat shor o chesev o eiz b'machane. If you shecht a shor, or a chesev or eiz, in the machane. O asher yishchat michutz machane. Or even if you shecht it outside the machane, you don't bring it to beis hamikdash, so it's like a person's chayv karis. So Rashi says this is talking about hektish. Rabban says no, it's not. In the midbar, they had to bring all meat to the Beis HaMikdash. And anything you shechted outside of the Mishkan, whatever. Anything you shechted outside of the Mishkan was like Shkutei Chutz. And that's what it's talking about. Rashi's going according to one mandamer in the Bryce, you know, another, Rashi's going according to Tana that it's not true that there was never usher for them Basar Taiva, like regular meat, but, he's saying in the Pasha Pshat is like Rabbi Shmuel, he thinks that there was a chiyuv karis to not eat meat if it wasn't brought as a carbon in the Mishkan in the time of the Midbar. And then when they got to Eretz Yisrael and they lived too far away from the Mishkan, so that's when they were able to just eat at home like we do today without bringing it to the Beis HaMikdash because it was too far away. And what would the purpose of this be? Why do you have to even shecht regular food in the Midbar there? Because they used to, as the pasuk says, they'll stop bringing karbanos to the seirim. Okay, so who's the seirim? So Rashi says it's the shadim. So Rambam just quotes what shadim are, that they're similar to malachi asharis in three ways, and similar to humans in three ways. So they're similar to Malachi Asharis in that they have wings, they can fly, and they know what's going to be in the future because they somehow overhear it while flying. And in three ways they're like people, in that they eat and drink like people, they have kids like people, and they die like people. Okay, so the Ramban explains there's some kind of Metzias, like more Ruchni than anything else, but still not completely Ruchni like a Malach. They're different in the way we just described. Okay, so then we have the Isser to not eat blood. That is in Perek Yitzayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph. And the Torah gives you an explanation for it. Don't eat blood. Ki nefesh habasar ba'dam hi. V'ani nesativ lachem es ha-mizbeach l'chaper nafsasechem ki ba'dam v'nefesh hi-chaper. Al-kein amarti l'b'nei so'ok ha-nefesh b'kem l'so'ok ha-dam. It's a whole long explanation why you can't eat blood. Who needs to eat blood? So there are some versions in the Gemara that say that Taka, nobody wants to eat blood and it's just to give you schar. But there are others, and the Ramban quotes them, that it's because the Mitzrim used to drink blood all the time for their kishuv. And you can see that in the Metropolitan Museum of Art, I remember once seeing they had a diorama there that it like of Egyptians eating blood cakes, and that this was preserved from like thousands of years ago from the Egyptians themselves. That's what they used to do. They ate blood, not because they thought it tasted good, probably. More likely because it was part of their, the stuff they did. Their magic or whatever kind of creepy stuff they did. So the Ramban explains that we are allowed to eat meat, even though we're, right? So why are we allowed to eat meat? If you remember, originally we were not allowed to eat meat. But after Noach, we were allowed to eat meat because, he says, the chaye of a behema is for a person. It's for hanas adam. Okay, but his nefesh is not yours. A behema has a nefesh, just like you have a nefesh, and nefashos are for Hashem. Even though obviously it's a totally different type of nefesh, but a nefesh it is, and therefore you can't eat its nefesh, because that's for Hashem. Furthermore, he says the nefesh is, the blood rather, blood can become more part of you more easily. So therefore, I guess, because you have blood and it just gets part of you, I don't know. But he says it becomes more part of you, and then it'll make your nefesh more behemistic. So even though there are kosher animals that we say you can eat their flesh, but if you ate their blood, it would make you too much like, it'd make you too behemoth, too animally, and therefore that's why the Torah is saying don't eat it. It's there for a kapara for your neshama as a karban, but not something for you to eat. And then he throws in something interesting also, about why there's a mitzvah kisei adam only on oaf and chaya, but not on animal, right? If you shecht an animal, you don't need to do kisei adam, only if you shecht a chaya or an oaf. He says because those are usually not, their blood is not put on the mizbeach, even though there are birds that you do, their blood goes on the mizbeach, but he says, first of all, only two, and they're not shechted, it's not the same, and most animals that we can eat are kosher for karbanos, and therefore their blood is not roi for kisui, it's roi for kapara. So it shouldn't be covered, as opposed to the others that are. Okay, then we get into the arayos. So just one agav thing at the beginning, which I think is just an interesting point. He's mentioning it it's in Pasuk Beis, towards the end, and he says that the Mitzrayim reshtufim bezima, they were always in the place of Mitzrayim where we were, they were always full of znus. That's what Mitzrayim was known for. And that's why he says, this is the introduction. They were super, znus people. And they always had a kaddish of a man, you know, like a homosexuality, a guy who's a kaddish, a zona for that. It was common in Mitzrayim. But this is the interesting part. It says, V'hakasav made behem b'nei Mitzrayim. The Pasuk tells you that b'nei Mitzrayim were like that because it says, Shcheinecha gedele basar. Your neighbors are gedele basar. The Omer, and it also says, Besar chamorim besarim. That's what we all know. Zer masusim zer masim. That's how we know that a guy has no yichus, right? It says, Asher besar chamorim besarim. And this is the interesting part. Habasar is a kinui. That means whenever it says basar, when you find the Torah basar in relations to things that have to do with znus, basar means an aver, or whatever, those sexual organs. It's like zav mi basaro. He says basaro, that's a kinoi for where it comes from. Or dam yezova bibsara. So that's what basar means. And therefore, shcheinecha gedele basar means what it sounds like, just writing it in a lucky way. But that basar is a kinoi for an aver. It's good to keep in mind if you see future psukim with the word basar in that the vein, you know what it means. Okay. Then we have Es Mishpatai Tasu, Pasuk Dalet. Es Mishpatai Tasu Veschukosai Tishmiru Lalechas Mem. Keep my Mishpatim, keep my Chukim. It's an introduction again to Arayos. So Agav, this thing, he's talking about Chukim and Mishpatim. Then he has this line, V'da ki chaye odam b'mitzvos kefi hachanasa lehem. No, that a person's life with mitzvos is based on his preparation for it. What do you mean? Sounds like he means is the way you approach it. That is, if you're doing it lishma, with ava, with yira, your approach to the mitzvos changes your whole, what you get out of them. And yeah. So if you come to the mitzvos totally shalo lishma, just you want, I don't know, you hope it'll be a segula, you get rich, that's what you'll get. You can expect, again, we don't know how the world works and all Hashem's Chashbonos, but that's what should happen. A person should get assurance covered. If you're doing the mitzvahs to be Zochet Olam Haba, so then you will be saved from Yisurin, and you'll be saved from Yisuri HaRashayim and Nafshem Betov Talin. Okay. And then if you do a mitzvahs Me'ava, so then you'll get Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And those who could care less about Olam Hazeh completely, it's as if they almost don't even have a body, all they care about is Hashem. So then he says that's like Eliyahu HaNavi. And then that person gets will live forever in their guf. Again, like Eliyahu. Obviously that's not a regular person. Anyway, those are the different levels. I have heard the line, though, quoted, seems to me a little bit out of context, but it's certainly a line to have in your head. What you get out of mitzvahs is kefi your hachana to them. Really, again, in this context, sounds like he means your approach to them, or what you're thinking of before you do it, but it's in general, your hachana means you're preparing for. So, of course, it means both, but it's also something to keep in mind. You get kefi, what you put in is what you get out. If you're doing them totally to connect Hashem, you get the most out of it. Okay. Now, what is the reason the Torah asked she'er basar, like your relatives? Why can't you marry your relatives? Okay, so we don't have to have a reason, but we do. The Ramban quotes the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim, says that it's because it's to lessen people being involved in Tashmish Amitah. In other words, a sister, someone like that who's in your house, a daughter. Okay, again, most of us, this is not something we can relate to anyway, but okay, if someone would have a taima for these people, and it seems like there was perhaps a time in history where there was a taima, just like there was a taima for Avodah Zarah, there used to be a taima for Krovim. Regardless, it doesn't matter. Why did the Torah ask these things? Because it's too easy. These are family members who are around anyway, the relatives, so that's going to lead to too much mishkal, and this Torah wants us to stay far away from that kind of thing. To be mistopic b'muat. Okay. So the Ramban thinks that that's not a great reason to say you're chayiv karis. Furthermore, you could just marry a million women, then you could have tashmish amita all day long. So that's not a reason to explain arayas. The Ramban says really it should make the most sense that you should want to marry, a person should want to marry their oldest daughter off to their oldest son. You know, all in the family. It'd be great. Why would the Torah answer it? So the Ramban says that he doesn't really know a reason in this world, meaning in the physical world, but in the spiritual world, it's like, a pisod. So he says it's connected to soda eber, which usually means gilgals. Has to do something with gilgals. I obviously don't know what he means by that. And then he says this yisod that goes through a lot of what he's going to say about Arias in general, which is the tashmish amita, mishkal. So he says that's really something that is bruchak v'nimas b'Torah. Torah does not like it. The whole concept of tashmish amita, it's something that it's the Torah wants to keep you away from, except, of course, l'kiyum hamin, except for that the min has to continue. The human species needs that to continue. Now, you and I both know that even the Ramban knows that's not completely the whole thing, because you're not all usher to your pregnant wife, or you're not usher old man and an old lady. There's no isser. It's not really completely only that, but I guess he's talking in general. In general, the whole purpose is only l'kiyum hamin. And therefore, if it's something, it's a kind of marriage that cannot keep the species going, the Torah doesn't like it, and it wants to usher it. So that's why, for example, a man and a man would be usher, because they can't be a min from that. It's just giving a sorah, it's usher regardless, but there's a reason. And he says, so if I understand this correctly, that with relatives also won't turn out well. That's why the pasuk says she'er hayna zimahi, because it's your she'er, and the marriage won't work. And therefore, it's just zimahi, which is zamamla, it's just a thought. It's machshavas taiva bavad. Okay. Okay, and on that note, in Pasuk Yedzayin, where it says, Isho bita lo segale, you can't marry a woman and her daughter. Sharehena zimahi. So, the thought is actually the problem. He's saying the reason why the Torah asked you to marry a woman and her daughter is because they probably are similar. They probably look similar, they probably are similar, and when you're going to be with one, you're going to be thinking about the other, meaning when you're being intimate with one, you're going to be thinking about the other, and that's bad. That's B'nai Machshah, right? That's Berosim Michem, Amordim, Aposhim, B'nai Teshemidos, there's seven ways of when you're together, a man is together with a woman, that they would have a kid who comes out with bad midos, based on what they were, let's say, thinking. So if a person's thinking about some other lady, so then that's bad. The kid messes up the kid. And they're not allowed to do that. So that's the problem with Erebus Yishu Bita, because that's exactly the Zima, the thought. It'll lead you to think about one when you're with the other. That's, again, these are all just suggestions, not lahalacha. They're just suggestions of why the Torah would answer it. Then an explanation of why you can't marry a lady and her sister. Don't have, the Pasuk says, Litzrar Lagaros Erevosa Ala Bechaya. So, he explains that sisters are supposed to be friends. They shouldn't be tzaros to each other. They're not considered a share. They're mutter after death, but the issue is because they're supposed to love each other, and if they're co-wives, it's not going to be conducive to that. Okay, and then why is Anida usher? So he says, same thing. The Torah doesn't like anything that'll have bad, that the kids won't come out well. And he says, someone who's with Anida, so then nothing's going to come from that, because while she's Anida, She's not going to get pregnant. His reasoning for it is he has this notion of nida. He says a couple times that this dam nida is like poisoned, and it'll kill anything in there, so it's certainly not going to give birth to anything. And he says it's even like it used to be a lady who was a nida. If she would look at this metal sheet, like a mirror, it would get these like red spots on it because there was something like poisonous almost from an nida. And people, that's why you like explained by Rachel, we explained a couple times. You want to stay away from an nida lady. They're almost in, like it sounds, excommunication. Everybody wants to stay far away from them because they were like dangerous. And that's a little bit. So you'll ask me, okay, fine. Maybe nidas were different back then. I don't know, maybe they still have it today, but they were different back then. And that it was, still today, a lady can't get pregnant while she's a nida. I mean, when she's menstruating, but we don't find it to be poison. So maybe that changed, maybe it didn't, I don't know. But either way, it's not just when she stops menstruating, she has to go to the mikveh. How do you explain that? Why does she have to go to the mikveh first to be not any? She's a full nida daraisa until she goes to the mikveh. What does the mikveh got to do with anything? He says, because as titer gam b'machshavta v'tia nekiya legamri, she's not fully tahar until she goes to the mikveh, and that's metahir her thoughts. Then she becomes having tahar thoughts, and then she could be with her husband, the yid, because we want zera kodesh. Just repeating what he says. Okay, then we get into a discussion about molech. So everybody knows molech. That's supposed to be when you give your son over to the, someone gives their son over to a priest, and the priest has these two fires. And because we know this from Rashi, right? The priest has two fires, and he walks the kid between the two fires, and that's supposed to be the avodah zarah of molech. So the Rabban disagrees. Says no, that's not molech. Molech is making a fire, and your kid goes through it. Doesn't necessarily get burnt on pass number one. May take a couple passes, but the kid is burnt to death. But he keeps passing through it. Like he says, it seems like it could be a couple passes. But till the kid is completely burnt up and dies. That's the avodah zarah of molech. And he's going to explain, here he explains later on, molech may not even be limited, may not even be a name of a particular avodah zarah. I'm going to say, and again, I can say it now, it's from Parshas Kedushim, but molech may just be a general name. The Ramban will tell us that doing this, you can't do it to any avodah zarah, even if the way to worship a certain god is not through molech, if you do this kind of thing, it's considered the avodah zarah of molech. And the name molech itself may not even mean anything. It just may mean like a lashon of a person trying to give chashivas, you know, like a king or whatever. So it's just the type of avodah done to any avodah zarah. Even like anybody called, we call it shloka darka. Even if that's not the way to worship it, it doesn't matter. That's considered avodah zarah. And he says, this may, another word for molech, if it is avodah zarah, it may be the Baal. The Baal might be molech. That by offering this the person's kids as a karban, so then they would get dreams, whatever. Chalomo shav. Okay. Dude. And it's called the Chil Hashem. The Pasuk calls it... Chalel Hashem Kachi, why is it a more special Chalel Hashem than any other? Because here, to me, you offer animals. To your Avodah Zarah, you offer kids, of course. You know, it has to be that way. But it's a Chalel Hashem that way. The way the Ramban puts it, it's a Chalel Hashem to the Gayim. They'll hear, they do this to their Avodah Zarah, and the Jews just bring out animals. That's a Chalel Hashem. Okay, and then we have in Pasuk Chafei, Batit Ma'aretz V'atifkar Avona Aleh V'atakei Aretz. And if you violate the arayas, then Eretz Yisrael will kick you out. So here the Ramban gets into another big hashgafic thing that arayas are not mitzvahs atilyas baretz. So why is it anything different if you do an erva in Israel versus doing an erva in America? So he explains that all other lands besides Eretz Yisrael are given over to some koach, some moshel, some malach, whatever in Shemayim, so asar, except Israel. Israel was not. Israel Hashem directly manages, so to speak. Obviously Hashem runs everything, but more direct, there's no Sar and Koach in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore it's directly by Hashem, and therefore Eretz Yisrael can't handle Avera, can't handle Znus, and it will kick them out. And similarly, we have the Kusim. The Kusim, when they were worshiping their idols where they were, nothing happened to them. And then they came to Eretz Yisrael, they get eaten by lions, because sinning in Eretz Yisrael is worse, much worse, because that's where Hashem is, that's where the Shechina is. And then he quotes that famous Medrash that us keeping mitzvahs outside of Eretz Yisrael, like in America or England or wherever you are, keeping mitzvahs outside of Eretz Yisrael is really just practice. The real place to keep mitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. All, not just mitzvahs atzal yisbar, it's all mitzvahs. It's almost just like practice, as the Medrash says, like some old lady, a princess who gets kicked out of the, or a queen, whatever, gets kicked out of her palace, and the king tells her, keep wearing your jewelry, because you have to keep in practice to how to look good, you know, how to look like a queen or a prince, because eventually you'll come back. So too, we keep mitzvahs outside of Israel, so that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, we're used to it. So it's like the main place of doing mitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael, and everywhere else is almost like, just like practice. And again, he explains that's why Rachel died when she went back to Eretz Yisrael, because Yaakov had married two sisters, and while they weren't in Eretz Yisrael, that was fine, but once they returned to Eretz Yisrael, so as soon as they got in, Rachel died, because Yaakov couldn't be married to two sisters. Remember, he married Leah first, right? So Rachel is the one that's the Yisr. So Rachel died. That's what Rabban says, Eretz Yisrael. It's because they got into Eretz Yisrael that they that she died. And he says, don't ask for me that you see that Michal is called the sire of the Klal Yisrael. Then he means that's just the sire to be Mvakish Rachmim Al Yisrael. He's not a Moshel in any way. So to the sire, this Malach of Sora, sire that came to help Yeshua, that wasn't in charge of us. That was just coming to help us. Okay, and the last piece in Achrimos is in Pasuk Chavtes about Kares. So the Ramban goes into great detail in this in his Sefer Sharak Mul. But here we have a little bit of it about the different types of kares. So, he says, if someone is generally a tzaddik their whole lives, and then once, they eat chalef, on purpose, whatever, they were really hungry, I don't know. They're a tzaddik their whole lives, and once they eat chalef, which is a chi of kares, or blood, so he's, and this person's a tzaddik, meaning he has rov mitzvos, and this just one time he did an avera, b'mezid, so then he'll die young. Like before 60. But his nefesh is not getting cut off. He'll get a chelek in olam haneshamos. Okay, that's level one. Now, if he is rov averos, plus he's got a kares in that list, so then his neshama is cut off from chay olam haneshamos. And that's what it says, Vavadati es hanefesh ahi mikarev orak. There's different lashonas of kares. If it says v'nichras ha'yishahu, that could just mean that he dies. If it says Vavadati es hanefesh, that means the soul gets cut off. That's what the person is rov averos, plus this sin. And that person, he says, may not die young. He may live past 60, even though he's chayiv kares, because just his neshama is going to be cut off. So he could live to be a ripe old, an old man, but his neshama may be cut off. And then there are some kareses that are extra worse kareses. And there it says that both happen. Gufan kalav and ishmasun nisrefes. So he'll die young, plus his neshama is burnt. And even then it says, v'ruach mifazrasan tachas kapas raglei atzadikim. The ashes, so to speak, of course there's nothing physical here, but the ashes are sprinkled under the legs of tzadikim, which the Rav Dessler explains means that he still has something in Olam Haba. At least he'll be paving the path. It's not completely cut off. Anyway, that's what it says is cut off. And which one is those super bad karises? That's mitzvah sohefer by... that's by Avodah Zarah and Megadev. And also it says... Porikol, Megalapanim Batorah, Mefir Bris, I mean someone who tries to make himself look like he doesn't have a Bris Mila. But not your average curries. So just the really bad ones of Odazara, Megadev, Megalapanim Batorah, Mefir Bris, okay, and Porikol. And Porikol means doesn't believe in God. Okay. And the Ramban just points out, you know, to look at the positive by the fact that the Torah talks about curries all the time, it means everybody else who doesn't get kares does live forever. Not their body, but their neshama lives, never gets destroyed. It's just the sin that destroys the neshama. Otherwise, the neshama will live forever. And we know there's tchias amesim with the body, but the neshama goes on forever. And then the last bayit is he says that there's 36 karises in the Torah. Much of them are arayos. And there are 16 mises based in. Meaning, mises based in of arayos. Eating treif, you know, that there's, you never get killed for eating treif. There's curries for some of them, chalev and whatever. But he's trying to point out that Isser arayos are pretty serious, though. Many of the curries are arayos. Some of them have mises based in. There's no such thing as a eating something that will result in mises based in. And he says because gilui arayos is something the Torah does not like big time. You know, gilui arayos, shrichas dam avodah zarah. And he says those are actually in order. Avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shrichas damim. I had never thought that that was something you're supposed to take as the order matters. Apparently, it's an order of how bad they are. All three you have to give up your life for, but apparently avodah zarah is the worst. Second to it, avodah zarah, gilui arayos. Third is murder. So, gilui arayos is worse than murder, is what the Ramban says. Like he says, we say, Elokim, Bilam said, Elokim, Shalelu, Sione, Zimahim, Hashem hates Zima. Okay, and he says, what's so bad about Zima? Yesh Lenin, Sod Gadol, Besoda, Yetzira. Okay, so into Sod Gadol, obviously, it's, Hashem knows why it's so terrible. Again, the Ramban hinted at it, but again, we don't know Sod, so. And he quotes also, the Mar Nevuchim says that a person's Yetzihara is very strong when it comes to Tashmish Amita. And therefore, since it's such a great Yetzihara, the Torah was very machmer in its punishments. And he said, the Ramban says, well, that's true too. There's also a big Inyan Bapisod of why it's so terrible. Okay. Moving on to Kedoshim, Parshas Kedoshim. So this is also one of the more famous Rambans. Kedoshim to you. The Rashi says, you should be parish from Arayos. The Ramban says, no, it is not limited to Arayos. It is saying you should be parish from everything. And that is to say that a person, if you follow all the Torah's rules, you could be drinking beer all day and marrying a million wives. And if you could be his famous line, a novel b'shus ha-Torah. You could keep every halacha and still be every mitzvah and still be a low person, where all you're doing is taiva all day. Mutter taiva, but it's taiva nonetheless. And that the Torah doesn't want, and therefore it says a general thing, kedoshim to you, be holy. That should be parish, don't be into gashmias that much. Be memayit in such things. And he says that I don't know how famous this is, also says person should be mafresh themselves from tumah. Like we know in the Gemara, those people who eat their chulin batara and big day amaras or medrash laprushim, person should stay away from tumah even when it's not officially tummy. Stay away from it anyway. Or even if it doesn't matter to you if you're tummy, because all of us today, stay away from tumah anyway. Be kadosh, holy. Don't stay away from disgusting things. Nivol peh, called piv dover nivola, person should be a high person, not a low person. And to quote his line, which is, not that he's my scumma, but it's great. The main thing of the pasuk is to tell you we should be nikiyim tahorim prushim mehamon bnei adam and separate from most people. That they dirty themselves with extra stuff they don't need and disgusting things. And he also says, this is the way of the Torah in general. When it says a lot of halachas, it'll give you one catch-all at the end. Like we just had all the Azarias at the end of Parshas Achrimos. Now we have one catch-all at the end, Kedoshim to you. Which is, of course, where Rashi was coming from, you would think, but that had to do with Arayas. But I mean, there's one catch-all, be holy. Right? Or you have all Hilchah Shabbos, then it'll be one Aseh, keep Shabbos. You have all the halachas of stealing, and then you'll have Asisa Yashar Beratov. There's like one catch-all phrase at the end to say, where we're headed with all this. It sounds like what he's saying, and make sure you get the reason. Keep all the official mitzvos. You also have to be yashar v'atov, because that's where we're headed with this. You want to be yashar v'atov. We want you to be kadosh. We want you to keep Shabbos and not do shtick to work. Minat Torah, like the Ramban's going to go on in another place. You could keep all the halachas midarais of Shabbos and not be recognizable Shabbos. You could do business all day. All these things. There's a separate essay as a catch-all at the end. Okay, then we have the pasuk about Rechila, so Selech Rachel. So Rashi quotes this thing about Losechel Kurtzin, about this, that the Lashon Hara people would go and have this meal in the house of the person they were telling Lashon Hara to, and that was like a chizik l'divrayim, and that was called an achilas kurtzin. Anyway, the Rabban says, no, that's not what it means. The Lashon of Rachel, Lashon of Rachel is just a hashmas call. It just means to make a noise, like he proves from other places that it means to make noise, to talk. Say Lashon Hara. And kurtzin can come from, yikritzu, be'ineim, like winking. That's ochle kurtzin, they would call them. But anyway, he's saying there's no meal. He doesn't think that's true, but that's what it means. This means people speak Lashon Hara. Okay. Then we have Lasisna Sachicha Bilvavecha. So he says, we have two of these mitzvos, don't hate your brother in your heart, and the opposite, V'haftal Re'echa Kamocha, and Hochiach Tochiach Etzamisech, we all have that pasuk. So he says, Lasisna Sachicha Bilvavecha, he says, just Dibre Behova, don't, sounds like it's saying, just don't hate your brother in your heart, because that's usually where you hate him in your heart. And then we have the mitzvah of Tachacha, and you have the mitzvah to love your brother like yourself. Sorry, love your friend like. So he explains this is really a progression. First it says, don't hate your brother in your heart. Rather what? Rather tell him. Tell him, why'd you do this to me? And then maybe he'll say, oh, I didn't realize. He'll say, oh, I'm so sorry. And then it'll be, v'haftal reicha kamocha. More accurate. You'll give him a tochacha, maybe he'll feel bad. And then, lo sikum lo sitor, don't keep it in your heart. Get over it. He apologized or whatever. And then love him like yourself. We'll lead to be able to love him like yourself. Okay, and the Ramban says, loving him like yourself is an exaggeration. You can't possibly love someone exactly like yourself. Everybody has to love themselves more, and even it's a halacha. Chayecha kod min l'chayecha bercha. Your life is a lot to come first. Doesn't mean that you have to love him like yourself. It means you should want good for him like you want for yourself. That is, give him everything he needs, not just some things. And if he gets as rich as you, don't feel bad about that. Some people want other people to have good, but not quite as good as them. They want to be on top. No, that's kinna. You should want, for your friend like yourself, you should have all the good you should have. You shouldn't have any less. And it can have even more than you. You don't, just like you want all good for yourself, you want all good for your friend, you completely remove kinna from your heart. And like David and Yonasan, where Yonasan said, Ata Timloch al Yisrael. What an amazing thing to say. The son of the king says to his friend, you be the king. You're going to be the king. There was no kin in his heart. That's real Ava. And Rabban also points out that when we say, don't take Nekama, sometimes you can take Nekama.
What?
Yes. Sometimes you're allowed to do Nekima and Atira and not forget what happened. In what case? In cases of Mominus, for example. Like if the guy damaged your car. You don't have to say, oh, lo sikum, lo sitor, I won't go to Beis Din. No, you're allowed to go to Beis Din and get your money back. And let's say he kills your relative, right? There's a thing called Goel Adam. That's Nakama, right? If someone kills your relative, you're allowed to go after and kill him if you're the Goel Adam. So not everything do you have to pretend didn't happen, but some things you do, most things you do. So if it's Dini Mamanos, you're allowed to take him to Beis Din. If it's Dini Nefesh, you're also allowed to be Goel Adam. So everything you have to follow the Torah. Okay, now it says, Eschuko Sai Tishmaru. What are chukim? Chukim are things we don't know the reason for. As of course, the Rabban points out, that doesn't mean there aren't reasons for. There are amazing reasons for. We just don't know them. They're not just like mitzvahs that Hashem gave us to like bang our heads against the wall. They're all mitzvahs with good reasons. We just don't know the reasons for them. So Rashi gives some examples, or one example, rather, Kile Behema, I think is the one, right? That pasuk, so the Ramban says that's not a chok. Okay, the one that Rashi mentions, he says Chazal only tell us a chok is mentions the things that the guy can say. Oh, you guys are dumb. That's shatness as a chok, not kili behema, because he explained to you what the reasons for that. That's not a chok. He says. He says the issue with kilayim is Hashem created the world in a certain way, with everything having its properties so that it can last forever and it can function in this world. And you're going ahead and thinking you got a better idea. When you're markiv, when you put two things together, you're being makhish maise bracious as if you think Hashem didn't do a good job, or you're going to do a better job. You're going to help creation. And he says, generally, when you put two different minim together, they won't have kids. They won't be able to continue, right? Like the mule. When you put two animals together, they won't be able to have kids. And many plants, if you put them together, they won't be able to reproduce. So that's the reason that that should be usur, like he said before. And he says that the isser to work two animals together, to be chorish with a shur and a chamor, because he says it'll come to harkava. Since they're so close together, they'll end up coming to being with each other, to harkava. And also, alpi like Kabbalah, he says, they all have their... Every blade of glass, we know, has its neshama, has its malach on him that says grow, right? They each are under a certain koach, they each have their shefa. And he says, if you mix them together, you're going to mix up the kochos and shemayim, that's also no good. Okay, now shatnez is a chok, but in the explanation of shatnez, so Rashi, this is just a machlok, it's Rashi and Ramban, Rashi says the isser of shatnez is when you... So we know a shua, tov, even knows. Those are the three things. I don't know exactly, because I'm not a, you know, what they mean, spinning or whatever, you have to tying them together, making them spun together. So Rashi says to be shatnez, that's what the two, you take wool and linen and spin them, shui, tov, even knows each other together. The Ramban disagrees with that. He says, no. It means you have to have threads that were separately, a wool thread that was shuva v'tarvim knows itself, meaning it was combed, it was spun, it's whatever, it's a thread like that. And then you take one of linen like that, and then you just tie those two together. Like we know from all the Gemaras, shtei tekifos is enough. You just have a wool garment that's woven like that, and then you stick in linen, one in, one out, or shtei tekifos, so then that's shatnez. So... Rashi Shita is that they have to be woven together, meaning that the wool and linen have to be shui tovim v'nos to each other. The Ramban says no, they have to be have that done separately and then just tied together, regular tied, shtei tekifos and whatever, woven together, you know, and that way they don't need anything more than that. Like famously Kalayim Betzitzis, where we learn Kesher Elyon is Daraisa, all you need is a Kesher, because that's where you're talking about Kalayim Betzitzis, and it's just tied. So all you need is tying. You don't need them to be shui tov v'nos together. Okay, next. Then we have a shifcha charufa. So that's a woman, Pashta says, so she had, she's half slave, half not slave. And she was married to someone. So someone was with her. The pasuk says, v'ishki ishkavis yishol shifcha zarev, hi shifcha, shifcha necharefes le'ish. She's going to explain the word necharefes. And she, the hafti lan of dasa, but she wasn't fully redeemed. There'll be bikuris. What do those words mean? So the Ramban says that nechrefis comes from the word choref and mecharfi, that when a person is young, that's called mecharfi, because that's like from choref, like the winter, where you plant stuff, and the summer is where you harvest. An old person is called yimeyaziknas, yimeyhaasif. That's like the kayets. And mecharfi is when they're young. But it means when they're young. He's shifcha nefcharefes leish. So she's a shifcha naira to a man. Now, what if she's not old? So it doesn't mean that she has to be young. Nechrefes is coming to teach you young, like the word nar. And he says nar doesn't have to mean nar in age. Anyone who's mishamish someone else is called a nar. And since she's being mishamish him with tashmish, that's called his nara. She doesn't need to be tafka a nara. And then what's the lashon of bikuris tia? So Rashi says it means beistin should be mevaker, the dover, check into it to not be mechayev her misa, because kilo chufasha, because she wasn't freed, so therefore it's not a real kedushin, even though she's married to someone, it's only half a kedushin, whatever the case of shivcha charuf is, half freed, half not freed. Okay, so the Ramban says that's not what he thinks it means. In other words, what do you need this biker for? Biker means checking it out. That's what Rashi sounds like. He says, because people are going to think she's an Eishes Ish, and they'll make a mistake. He doesn't like that pshat. Because, of course, they'll check into it. So he thinks it means from the Lashon Hefker, right? Like, you know, in the Mishnayos, it says Hevker. Hevker Laniyam Hefker, right? That's the Lashon in Mishnayos. You find it, Hey Beis Kuf Reish, Hevker. He says, that's the real word. Hefker is, you know, we say in Aramaic because it sounds like it, but the real word is Hevker, and that's what this means. Bikuris tia means she's hefker to him. So she's considered hefker, and that's why he's not going to die. Okay, then we have the mitzvah of Arla. So the Ramban explains Arla is because it's right that when you have a tree, you should bring the first fruits to Hashem, similar to the Bikurim. And there's no good fruits till the 4th year. So in the 4th year, you have a mitzvah of bringing to Yerushalayim. And the 3 years before, since we want to bring the first to Hashem, and the fruit the first 2 years are no good, so we don't eat that. Furthermore, he says it's also unhealthy, the fruit those years. And he says, a pretty big sweeping statement, HaMa'achalim ha'ne'asarim b'torah himra'im gam laguf. The things that the Torah asked are unhealthy. Okay, they're not good for the body. He says, like a dog with no kaskeses. Okay, like a fish with no scales, also unhealthy. And he also quotes the Mor Nevuchim, who has a different answer, which is his explanation. He says, Berov HaMitzvos, I didn't read Mor Nevuchim, so I can't tell you. But then he says, Mor Nevuchim's reason, and the Ramban has brought many of them, and they're all the same, they're always to be against Avodah Zarah. Or many of them are to be against anti-Avodah Zarah. So he says in those times, they would do kishuf with these things. They would do their kishuf in front of the tree, and then they would expect that would make the fruit would come early, and then they'd bring the fruit to their Avodah Zarah. So the Torah says to bring it to Hashem instead. Don't go anywhere near it for 3 years, and then bring it to Hashem. So you don't go near it for 3 years, so you're not doing kishuf with it, and then when it brings its first fruit, you'll bring it to Hashem. Okay, next. It says in Pasuk Chavtes, Al titein atachalas bitcha laznosa, do not be mechal your daughter to be mezanaher. So Rashi brings, Memoser bito pnuya shelo l'shem kedushin. It's giving you over your daughter as a pnuya without kedushin. That's be mechal her. So the Rabban says, okay, we don't pasken that way. That's only like Shitas Rav Elazar. We hold pani habala pnuya is mutter. If everybody's not married, then it's not osur, not midaraisa. That's not called znos. And we would say it means giving over your daughter to someone who there is no ishus to, like a kusi eved chayvi krisus meisus beistin, giving over her over to someone that she can't be married to. That marriage doesn't work. But he says the pasuk is also telling her not to make herself into a zona. And the Ramban also quotes a Rashi. In Emor, it says, a zona is shenivala bilis Yisrael asherla, like chayvi krisus or nisin or mamzer. And those last ones are lavs. Nisin and mamzer is just a lav. And he says that makes a woman into a zona if she does that. So he says, first of all, you see, Rashi really doesn't agrees with me that just giving yourself over to a guy who you're not married to is not that. That's not called zona. When it says here, al tachalas bitchalas nosa, that does not make her into a zona. Second of all, though, he's wrong anyway, because he says nesin imams, that also doesn't make you into a zona. It's only people where kedushin can't be tofis. That's what makes a lady into a zona. So chai b'krisus, kusi, eved, somewhere where there's no kedushin. That's when a kohen would get malchus for marrying someone else a zona. But if it's just chai b'lav and she's not called a zona, she may be a halala, if she's nivalas to someone, to pasula, to someone she's not allowed to marry, like chai b'lav, but she's not a zona unless she's with someone who Kedushin's not tofes at all. Another machlokas, again, we know there's a Yisoda in general, Rashi is usually quoting the Pashup Shat that he thinks in the Pasuk, not necessarily what we Paskin like, but okay, the Ramban calls him on it every time. And we have a next Pasuk, Veniseva Takam, so Rashi says, only not just a Zakin Ashmai, which means an Amaretz, rather it means a Zeshikan Chachma. So the Ramban says, no, that's not how we Paskin. A person can be either old, and an Am Haaretz, or young, and a Talmid Chacham, both of them you're supposed to stand up for. Okay, then in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Gimel, we say, it says, if someone gives their child over to Molech, Rechrati Otomi Kervamok, Ki Mizar Nasa L'Molech, L'man Tameis Mikdashi L'Chal Hashem Kachi. So the Rabban wants to know, giving your kid over to Molech, how is that Mitami Mikdashi L'Chal Hashem Kachi? What does that have to be with a Mikdash and L'Chal Hashem Kachi? What? How? So the Rabban explains that we have like a simile. We said someone who makes a bracha, who's nana min olam hazeh, without a bracha, it's like he stole from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and from the Jewish people. How could that be? He explains that when you make a bracha, the mashal, so then you bring the Shechina into this world. And if you don't make a bracha, then the Shechina leaves this world and leaves Klal Yisrael. So if you're being makriv your child to Molech, so then that's a problem not just for you, it's a problem for the Shechina. The Shechina leaves Klal Yisrael and leaves this world. It's So it's Metameis Mikdashi, Achal Hashem Kachi, is Metameis Mikdashi, that refers to Klal Yisrael. Like Rashi says, Knesset Yisrael Shima Kodeshes Li, it's Mechal Al Klal Yisrael, because Hashem, it's Metameis Klal Yisrael, because Hashem Shechina leaves. It's Metameis Laretz, because Hashem Shechina leaves. And he says, this is why the Pasuk two Pesukim earlier says that if somebody does give their kid over the Molech, Am Ha'aretz, your Gemuhu Va'oven. Doesn't just say Yugma Varan. Who's supposed to kill him? The Am Ha'aretz, the nation of the land. Meaning everybody has to kill this guy. Why? Because he's hurting everyone. That is Garim the Shechina to leave Klal Yisrael Chasrol. Okay, then in Pasuk Yud Zayin we have Isha Sheikaches Achoso. So, it just mentions here, Aga, where the Lashon of Gili Arayos comes from. What does it mean, Gili Arayos? So he says, because that's the minig of Zonim, that they're just Megala Araya, like they're the Megala the Erva, meaning that's all they do. They undress that part, so that's Megala Arayos. That's why it's that Lashon. But there are other words, there's Bia, there's Shchiva, they're all different kinuyim for that. So here by the Pasuk of Sister, it says, V'ra'a es ervasa. He will see ervasa, like gili erva, see erva. He says, because a brother and sister may be sleeping together, because that's, you know, when they live in the same house. So it's ra'a es ervasa. He doesn't have to be megal anything. They may be sleeping together already, like that, you know, not clothed. Not for inappropriate purposes, just but brother and sister could happen. It's Roaz Arvasa, like meaning that he's interested or she's interested or both of them are interested in that. Okay, and then the Torah refers to it as Chesed. What's the lashon of Chesed? So we know some say it's Hisuda, it's embarrassing. Anyway, the Ramban says it's Chesed. It doesn't mean that the act of Gili Arayos is Chesed. Meaning they are Chesed. They're relatives. They're supposed to have a relationship of Chesed, where the brother, should try to marry off his sister to some man. That would be Chesed. And this, what he's doing is the opposite of Chesed. In other words, it's that their relationship is supposed to be Chesed. So, as usual, it's put on the man, the problem, the sin. He should have done Chesed. He should have married her off, and he did the opposite, therefore, v'nichrasu. He says like the Ramban ranks as pshat, because he said he can't see some of the other pshatim which make chesed be the opposite of chesed. He said chesed is always a positive. Chesed is always, tzlak of a chesed always go together. Chesed is always a positive. You can't take the word chesed and say it means the opposite. And say it means cherpa that he won't accept. So just Agav, and this will end, he's that famous pasuk about when Goyim give tzedakah, chesed le'umim chatas. How do you understand that? First part says tzedakah to romim goy, v'chesed lumim chatas. So he says tzedakah to romim goy when they do it, and chesed lumim chatas when they don't do it. If they don't do chesed, it'll be a chatas. Tzedakah to romim goy refers to a very, very specific goy, the yidden, and the umim, everybody else, chatas, because they usually don't do chesed. Or often don't. Anyway, okay, we'll stop here.